Hello again, Wardville Community Church. It's Monday, February 27th, 2023. This is In the Know, episode 64, and we're on a roll 2 weeks in a row. Let's get to it. Couple of announcements. March the 1st is the men's gathering. That is 2 days from today. March the 1st, Wednesday night, 6:30 at Joel Jordan's house, men's gathering, a chili cook-off competition. Wives are not allowed to help. And we're talking even sprinkling one flake of sea salt. Do not let the wives help. You will be disqualified. We'll still eat the chili and it'll probably be delicious, but you'll be disqualified from the competition if your wife helps. Let's do it. The gauntlet has been thrown down thanks to Dean Christian. March the 8th. Also, I heard tell of perhaps a dessert chili. I really hope that happens. Okay, March 8th. Women's gathering. That's a week from Wednesday. Location is to be determined, but it will happen at 6:30. So be looking out for more information on that. April the 21st is Love the Boot Week, like the culmination of that. We're going to do a cleanup on Bayou Maria Road starting at 5:30, and then we're going to have a free pizza Friday after that. I still have one Wardville Community Church mug and one t-shirt, an extra large, still available. And we are still reading 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die each day of Lent, and asking the Lord to refine our thoughts about the sacrifice of Christ, prepare us for Holy Week and Good Friday, and then even Easter Sunday, that would be a wonderful celebration of the resurrection of Christ. Okay, now, a little sermon follow-up for us. Let's talk application for a minute. Some sermons are more application heavy and some just aren't. That doesn't mean the text that we studied yesterday was any less practical for your life. It just means that at times we are called to see differently and believe differently. This was one of those sort of higher level, 30,000 foot view, believe differently, change your mindset sort of Sundays. But consider this, which of the issues you currently face would be made worse by believing the facts of yesterday's sermon? None. In fact, the entirety of your Christian experience will be improved when you see Christ from a clearer, more biblical perspective. When things are difficult at work and you're concerned for your job, isn't it a comfort to know that there is no rogue molecule in all of creation that falls outside of the bounds of Jesus's control? If you have, like us, had a miscarriage or are tempted to fear having one because you're pregnant, doesn't it help you to see Jesus by faith, who has tasted death for us? Now, he hasn't only experienced what it feels like to lose someone to death. He himself went through it and has changed both our experience of it and ensured that it has an expiration date. Perhaps things are really good in your life right now. This text would call you toward guarding against both complacency and entitlement, believing in some way you are owed this sort of happy, peaceful existence, and to continue to be in awe with the psalmist. What is man that you are mindful of him and have even saved him in such a way? I'm wholly undeserving. Not only should I not be entitled, I need to preserve my sense of awe because I realize how undeserving I actually am. If there's some brokenness that you are feeling acutely, remind yourself of that already not yet nature of the gospel and our existence underneath the gospel. Full payment has been made to provide for you a safe and secure entrance into the kingdom of God beyond the reach of all brokenness and sin. But at the present moment, we are waiting for all Christ's enemies to be subjected to him and made a footstool for his feet, just as he is waiting for that proper time according to the Father's wise and sovereign plan. There is just no situation to which this text does not speak in some regard, right? If Christ is Lord, he is Lord of every part of my life. If he is in charge, he's in charge of every part of the world. You may have to dig deeper to find how this text applies. You may have to sit and think about it, but this text is as relevant this evening as it is and was on Sunday morning. I pray that it encourages you deeply, even as you see more and more of Christ, who has restored the dignity of humanity and thus is going to redeem all of creation itself. The gospel is good news for us and for all creation. One thing I did not go into yesterday was the actual word in verse 8 that is used for outside his control. As I studied it this week, it was really interesting to me, and it also served as an encouragement to my heart as it helped to clarify what the author of Hebrews is seeking to communicate. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce this Greek word, okay? And then I'll spell it in English. And if you want to see what it looks like, you can go see it in the newsletter if you're listening. That Greek word is anupatektos. Anupatektos. A-N-U-P-O-T-A-K-T-O-S. Anupatektos. And it has several different words within its semantic range. Now, that just means the different English words that could be used in a translation of that word, which all together help give the sense of that word in the Greek. So you can take all the different ways this word might be translated, and you get a sense of everything that this could mean in those different contexts in the scripture. So I'm just going to read some words that fall in the semantic range of anupatektos. There are words like rebellious, independent, insubordinate, disobedient, unruly, unsubjugated. So you see all the different meanings of all of those words, and it gives you a fuller sense of what this word means. Nothing outside of his control. Nothing independent, controlling itself. Nothing. We might even throw in our own words like autonomous or rogue, which rogue kind of means on its own and rebellious. So it kind of captures that sense, which is why I talked about a rogue molecule yesterday. It implies things that are able successfully to resist the control, authority, dominion, power, and rule of another entity. And actually, that word, or those words would be that, right? But the whole sense is that there is actually nothing, right? So nothing is insubordinate, independent, disobedient, unruly. Nothing is able successfully to resist the control, authority, dominion, power, and rule of Christ. So what the author is telling these Hebrew Christians in danger of turning away is that God the Father, because of the overwhelmingly satisfying nature of the obedient sacrifice of Jesus, has given to Jesus rule and authority over everything, and he will forever rule everything. There is not one rogue atom or molecule, right? Paul Tripp has talked about, when he was talking about Jonah, not even a rogue worm, right? The Lord can appoint even a worm. Nothing in all the universe, nor in any realm of reality for that matter, falls outside of the bounds of his kindly, kingly rule. In Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 22, Paul words it in this way. Now listen for the similar idea to what we read both in Hebrews 1 and 2. Right, so here it goes. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Here we see the Father raising Jesus, seating him at his right hand, and giving him as a gracious gift to the church as head over all things, right? He is head of the church, that's true, but he is also head over all things for the church. I feel like I'm getting kind of preachy here, but I hope that you're hearing this and it's encouraging you. He's head over all things for the church. In other words, Paul wants the Ephesians' hearts to thrill at the notion that our head as the church is not just our head, but the head, the ruler over all things. It should be a source of repose for the people of God to know that nothing in all of creation evades his gaze or his authority and sovereignty. Nothing. What can harm us without his knowledge? What can ultimately harm us at all in the sense of causing us to be snatched out of his hand? Will not even our worst suffering simply be bent toward his kind purposes to do our souls good? Isn't this such a motivation and inspiration for missionaries? Like, would you pray that this would be that for missionaries? They are simply emissaries of the King who rules everything, sent with a proclamation of his hard-fought sacrificial battle with sin, death, and hell, his victory through resurrection, and his impending return. And they can go forth with the confidence that even if they're killed, that death will only bring the reward of their faith to them. Death itself does not escape his wise providence. He will employ every ounce of his authority to build up and preserve his church, his body in this world and in the life to come, grant them eternal life and peace as they dwell in his nearer presence. Take heart, believer, be bold, be courageous. Nothing is left outside of Christ's control. Have a great week. I love you, people.